Our second reading today is found in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, a snapshot of some of the early history, the evolution of the church, some of the opposition that the disciples faced, and a strange, maybe not strange, but an unexpected voice of wisdom in the midst. So if you'll listen with me as we listen in on these words, also listen for what God might say to us through them. The apostles were then brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. They said, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You're determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on the cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious, and they intended to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a while. Then he said to the Sanhedrin, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was then killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed. His followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, not only will you not be able to stop these men, you will find yourself fighting against God." His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. And then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, in the midst of a busy weekend and busy lives and a busy world, may we pause in these moments. May we be open to hear. May your spirit move. And may we be filled with faith in our lives and in our church. We pray it through Christ. Amen. So every other year, last week was my least favorite week of the summer. If that doesn't make sense, let me explain for a moment. Last week, the Presbyterian Church had what we call our General Assembly. It's our national governing meeting. We used to do it every year. Now we do it every year. This year, hundreds of Presbyterians flocked to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where those who were representatives elected to go and be commissioners hunkered down at folding tables and spent a week debating and discussing and arguing, moving things and seconding things and calling for rules and trying to navigate life on behalf of the church. Now, every time we have one of those meetings, I want to admit that there are some good things that happen. There is good that happens at General Assembly. But that's not generally what we hear about, certainly not what generally makes the news. Typically, the stuff that comes out of General Assembly is the wild stuff, the crazy stuff, the kind of headline stuff. Two General Assemblies ago, so in the neighborhood of 4 years ago, the General Assembly struggled with some of our investments. Presbyterian Church, like most national organizations, invests money. And somebody said, "You know, we invest some money in companies that make weapons. We probably shouldn't. We invest some money in companies that have terrible human rights track records. We probably shouldn't. They discussed that for a while, decided that was something the church should talk about, and they went on. And the headline that came out of that was Presbyterian Church is anti-American and anti-Israel. Now, I've been through about, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 of these General Assemblies. And I've never seen a headline that says Presbyterian Church decides to do more mission. Presbyterian Church raises a lot of food for hungry people. Builds a hospital in El Salvador. And I know it's popular to blame the media, and I'm not. But whenever some crazy story comes out, I cringe and I wish it was over and I hope it goes away quickly so we can get back under the radar. Because what usually happens in an age of social media is that people get wound up and I get phone calls and I get emails or I'm out in the world and somebody says, hey, what's up with the Presbyterians? I read dot, dot, dot. And then I have to try and explain that that's kind of how the church has always worked. And it comes with the territory of being a church family, which, like every family, has some odd ducks in it. Think about your own family for a minute. Don't look at anyone. Do you have any crazy in your family? Mine certainly does. I used to have a great aunt who was convinced that the soul of her deceased mother was in one of her cats. Had another family in our family that ate watermelon by slicing it in half and then everybody just grabbing the pieces that they wanted, like scooping it out of the shell, community style. I can't imagine that there are many families that don't have someone in them that everyone else holds their breath when they join the conversation. And you know it's about to take a strange, though probably familiar, turn. And if you're sitting here thinking, my family doesn't have anyone like that, I might have bad news for you. Well, no different with church families. We have it too. And Presbys, we might have more than most. We're a diverse group. Outspoken people on the right and the left that love sharing their ideas. And honestly, some of them sound, well, I don't know, kind of nuts. And I can't imagine there's a place where more crazy Presbyterian things have been said than General Assembly. We do some really good things in our denomination. We care about important issues. Those people who are commissioners struggle with our witness and our stewardship and our policies. But they also do things like make random statements on political and cultural issues. Pass measures on church growth, although almost none of our churches are growing. And my least favorite is they write letters. They write letters to world leaders who are guilty of abusing and oppressing people. And that's an important issue for sure. But it always makes my brain hurt to imagine that somewhere out there in the third world, there's a dictator and someone comes into their office and says, sir, we have a problem. And he says, what, are we under attack? No. We got a letter from the Presbyterians. They're not happy. Some of what we come up with is silly at best. And in my mind, it's a byproduct of trying to have space in church for everyone. That's a good thing. But the problem that it creates is that Presbyterians don't have a great mechanism to say, oh, thank you, that's not a good idea. We're not going to talk about it. We're not very good at that. We try to hear everyone, which means inevitably we hear some things that are kind of out there. And we could solve that by electing a supreme ruler that just made all the decisions for us. And I'm in favor of that. If I get the job. Otherwise, I'm not, because church history and world history has shown pretty consistently that the dictator model is not a good one. So we press on. Every 2 years, we throw a bunch of Presbyterians together and we try to make some room for ideas and maybe even for God, which can be frustrating. and gets people upset. But I would argue it's probably a good thing. And here's why. Consider for a moment that most great ideas sounded crazy the first few times someone said them. It takes even a good idea a little time to gain some traction. Think about it. Basically, everything that we Christians now believe sounded nuts to the first people who heard it. Incarnation, resurrection, Trinity. When Paul and Barnabas first said, hey, we think God wants to include Gentiles in the kingdom, they got hauled to a meeting to explain themselves. Almost no good church idea has had people behind it right away. Many thought it was crazy. In 1815, the Presbyterian Church had the meeting that we just had, their General Assembly, one of the early ones. And at that meeting, there was a pastor from Virginia, a man named Reverend George Bourne. And he presented an overture. That's a presentation, an idea. And in that overture, he called for the Presbyterian Church to condemn slavery. He called for the Presbyterian Church to call for an immediate release of all slaves. And he questioned whether being a slaveholder was compatible with being a Christian. It didn't go well. Not only did they disagree and tell him his ideas were crazy, they defrocked him. They unordained him. They took away his pastor label and removed him from ordained ministry. And when he appealed that to another General Assembly in 1818, they upheld it. It would be great if we all recognized good ideas right away, especially the godly ones. But we often don't. Sometimes it takes some time. And now looking back, we have to admire people like Paul and Barnabas and Reverend Bourne, who somehow got there before everyone else did, and who voiced what sounded like a crazy idea, and over time, it began to make sense. Eventually seeming not only wise, but more importantly, faithful. Until people finally got it. And this is the problem with ideas, especially faith ideas, that even the good ones sound out there at first. And it takes some time and some study and some thought and some prayer. And usually a few people getting upset to sort the wheat and the chaff. It's always been that way. From the beginning of the church. Our text this morning, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, is pretty unhappy with the disciples. They haul him in. They said, look, guys, we told you, stop preaching Jesus. They threatened them. They beat them. They punished them. Now they're ready to eliminate them. And there's a man in that circle named Gamaliel, a respected elder, a member of the Sanhedrin, and he said, hey, hold on a second. Maybe we should give it some time. If it's not a godly thing, it'll pass. It'll be all right. But what if it is? Then we're working the wrong direction. Friends, that's good advice. But it's advice that demands patience and faith and confidence in people, all of which is hard. It's always been easier to get mad, to go on the attack, to weed out the wrong people and silence them. But it's always been wise to give discernment some time in our own life and in our church life some space to pray and listen and see if just maybe God might be hiding somewhere in an idea that sounded nuts at the beginning. Now, it's not always the case. Some crazy ideas really are crazy. More than a few of them came from our part of the church. But sometimes a brave man or woman has to speak up and say something they think God gave them in the hopes that the rest of us might eventually catch up, trying to determine, is this of God or of men? And ultimately, we, the church, have to decide. Figure out which is which. What do we dismiss? What do we embrace? What moves us forward? What holds us back? What resonates with Scripture and our theology, and what doesn't? And you know, if you've ever tried to do that, even in your own life, that's hard work, let alone in a denomination of, say, a million people or a church of several hundred. That's difficult work. Because there's not as much difference between a prophet and a crazy uncle as you might think. And history should caution us that you can't always tell the difference right away. Now, I don't know what you'll hear out in Milwaukee after our family gathering. Kind of hope not much. I'm pretty sure some of it will sound bonkers. Some of it probably will be. I hope we can leave the crazy stuff behind fairly quickly. But as a rule, faith and church, we need to be careful. Because some of God working among us isn't obvious right away. When God tries to show us a new thing or lead us in a new way, most of us don't get on that page from the start. So perhaps there in Milwaukee, first through the voice of some brave man or woman who got there before the rest of us did and was willing to say something that sounds crazy to the rest of us, God was at work. And maybe there will be good ideas for our church. If so, I hope we can listen. I hope we can have faith and the confidence of Gamaliel and be patient enough to say, well, let's just give it some time. If it's not right, hopefully it will go away. If it's a human thing, hopefully it will fail. But what if it's God? Well, then we should listen. I don't know if any good ideas will come out of Milwaukee, honestly. Skeptical. But I know we could use some. And I know hundreds of our brothers and sisters in the faith met there trying to find some. I hope they can. And if they do, I hope we can hear them and hear in them a path so that each of us can become more faithful and that our churches can become more vibrant. Because of all the things I do and don't know about the church, I do know that that's what God wants for all of us. By the power of His Spirit, may He make it so. Amen.